dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man whose intelligence is highly prized by, well, me for sure, and by, I think, all of our listeners, and many more besides, is Gordon Chang. We have the privilege of speaking with him each week about this time, and it could hardly be a more important moment to take stock with him what's going on than as we see a third American carrier battle group heading towards the Korean Peninsula, joining two others already in place there and causing many, including our friend Gordon, to suggest this is a big deal and potentially a prelude to military operations against the North. Gordon Chang, welcome back, sir. It's good to have you with us.
And it's good to be on your show, Frank. So thank you so much.
Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on this deployment and why it seems so momentous.
There are already two carrier strike groups near Korea, the one centered around the Carl Vinson and the Ronald Reagan. Later this week, the Nimitz group will be leaving its base in Bremerton and going to the Western Pacific. And that means unprecedented three carrier groups, three large decks in the Western Pacific. This certainly is a message to the North Koreans, but they don't seem to be getting it because they're firing off ballistic missiles at the pace of about one a week. And so this sets up a confrontation, a test of wills between Kim Jong-un and President Trump. And if we do nothing in this case, then the North Koreans will take the measure of the new American leader and say that they will be emboldened to do even more provocative and belligerent things. So I think the president has, our president needs at this point to understand the consequences of actually, and the symbolism of bringing three large decks into the Western Pacific and hopefully being able to stop the North Koreans.
Gordon, you have also suggested that the testing of their own nuclear deterrent forces, involving a sixth test specifically, may be in the offing as well. Would that, in your judgment, translate into a catalyst for a conflict between the United States and the North?
Well, that could very well be the case. There is reporting from the Japanese that Chinese President Xi Jinping actually put the hard word on the North Koreans to not conduct their sixth test. And this was after Xi sat down with Donald Trump, of course, at Mar-a-Lago in early April. And so if the North Koreans go forward with something which is especially belligerent, we can assume a couple things, that either the Chinese wanted them to do it or were unable to do that. But in any event, it means that we've got to solve this on our own. Now, there are a lot of things that we can do short of kinetic action to stop the North Koreans, but they involve political will. So, for instance, they involve secondary sanctions on Chinese entities and banks that have been participating in illicit relations with the North Koreans. We have not been willing to do that, and that's not just a question of the Obama administration failing. It's also we've known these things for a long time. And indeed, we can say the Bush administration's policy towards North Korea have, in their own ways, been misguided, different than the mistakes in the Obama administration, but nonetheless mistakes. And so we've got to think about how we're going to deal with the North Koreans, exercise some political will, because if we don't exercise that political will, Frank, we will get involved in a war. And this war may not just be the U.S. versus North Korea. It could be China and North Korea versus the United States. So we're talking about consequences that we are not prepared at this point to think about, not our policymakers and indeed not even our military.
This brings us, of course, very directly to the question of what role China is playing. Gordon, you've written that it has been making empty promises to rein in North Korea. If the Chinese are still just going through the motions, what does that suggest is likely to be their role in the event there is, in fact, a conflict with North Korea and the United States?
Yeah, we don't know the answer to that question, Frank. We didn't know it in 1950 when General Douglas MacArthur, who was in command of U.S. forces in Korea and U.N. forces in Korea, did not think that the Chinese would intervene when he pushed the North Koreans back up toward the Yalu River. And we know that they did. Now we sort of assume that they wouldn't intervene if there were a conflict with North Korea. But I'm not so sure what the calculus in Beijing would be in this case, especially with a very arrogant, very provocative Xi Jinping, who believes that the United States is in terminal decline and that he can basically do what he wants.
And you've also described in previous conversations, Gordon Chang, the degree to which the Chinese military is kind of spoiling for a fight and may be given its head, it would appear, by Xi, as we'll be talking about shortly with Rick Fisher. He's very much engaged now, apparently, in this Chinese buildup and all that that may portend in terms of power projection capabilities.
Yes, well, I'm concerned about the buildup, of course, but what I'm concerned about is what the Chinese are in fact doing at this particular moment. And we know that they challenged a U.S. Air Force WC-135, which is Constant Phoenix, the sniffer plane, the one that looks for radioactivity. And essentially what the Chinese were saying is that the United States should not be looking for radioactivity in the case of a possible North Korean test. So this, I think, more than anything what Xi Jinping might say, is actually his intention toward the United States. And indeed, after that dangerous intercept of the WC-135, there was an intercept of a U.S. Navy P-3C Orion just south of Hong Kong in international airspace again. So this is a very dangerous situation where we think the Chinese are on our side. I don't think that they are, and we have to be alive to the possibility that we may actually end up in a conflict with them.
One of the things that we'll be talking about momentarily with Kevin Freeman, Gordon, is the evidence that the Chinese are responding to a downgrade in their bond ratings by the American company Moody's. As though this is some sort of act of economic warfare against them. Again, this may play into a dynamic that you're concerned about, as I think we all should be. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, Moody's downgraded China one notch. They're still investment grade. And China has been belligerent in its response. And actually, I think we should be concerned about how the Chinese have responded, not only because of what Kevin says, but also because the explanations that China has that they're reforming just aren't true. And so I think China is moving, maybe inching, maybe moving quite fast toward a systemic debt crisis.
Gordon, to the extent that China is moving in that direction, and again, we are looking at the possibilities of these external forces being used to justify domestic repression and continued control by the Communist Party, all of this seems to me to be, you know, evidence of a further movement, inexorable perhaps, but dramatic, in the direction of hostilities between the United States, perhaps with the Chinese proxy, North Korea, but also quite possibly with the Chinese themselves. Do you think it's overstating the case?
Not overstating the case at all. You know, Secretary Mattis said that if there were a war on the Korean Peninsula, it would be tragic on an unbelievable scale. And that sort of persuades people that it won't happen. Yet it could very well happen. And indeed, the United States has been taken by surprise so many times. You know, it's 9/11. It's December 7th. We don't understand the nature of our adversaries and what they intend. And that's our fault. And we need to understand what the Chinese are doing. They're proliferating ballistic missile technology to the North Koreans in all probability. We know, in fact, they're selling equipment for North Korea's ballistic missile program. And we're not asking the Chinese questions. And so, you know, this is a failure of the American political system, American policymakers, to understand the nature of the challenge. And despite all of this, Frank, China just got an invitation to participate in RIMPAC 2018. I can't understand this at all.
I hope on the basis of this kind of information, as you say, policymakers will understand better and be able to deal more correctly with the threats that we're facing. In the meantime, thank you for the terrific work you do at The Daily Beast, World Affairs Journal, and at Forbes.com, as well as, of course, Fox News and with us. Keep it up, my friend. Come back to us again next week.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.